All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another fantastic edition of Business with Roy with my good friend, Roy Redhead. We're going to talk about one of my favorite things, one of Roy's favorite things as well, which is sports. And we're going to talk about how the two worlds, sport and businesses, go together and what one can learn from the sports industry that translates over into the business industry. So maybe, Roy, if you can start first with your journey in sports. We've briefly spoken about basically you had your journey as a lifelong athlete and how that has helped you. But today we're gonna dive deep into it. So maybe if you can just start with when you got involved in sports, what sports you played, and so on, and we'll take it from there. Yeah.
Well, one thing about me, Hende, is I'm super competitive. I think competition is godlike. I think it's noble. I think it's amazing. As long as you don't cheat, right? I'm always been that way since a kid. And since I was that way, I always grew up fighting a lot. I grew up hurting myself. I would compete in anything. If it's racing, if it's jumping, we playing football on the street, we're playing tackle on the pavement, whatever it is. And I was always the kid who always had shorts with me too. Just in case somebody start talking, let's get out of here. We could play one-on-one. We could play right now, right? I think putting your kids in sports and playing sports is the most high-performing, best thing, mentally best thing you could do for someone. Mm-hmm. A sports teaches you discipline. It teaches you merit. It teaches you that if you put the work in, yes, some people have gifts, but if you put the work in over time, there's been guys who've been more athletic than me, more gifted than me, but over time I end up stronger, faster, better, and always had a really sharp mind as well. So I think quick. And since I think quick, that's always helped me as well. And my dad, realized I was good at sports. So he kind of waited until I chose the sport that I wanted to play, which was basketball. And he taught me, a lot of people don't know this, on my major audience, but my close friends know my dad actually was a physical trainer for a lot of pro athletes. You know, he's trained guys like Doc Pierce before, he's Baron Davis, a lot of top athletes go through his gym. One of my good friends, Alan Crabb, who played for the Portland Trail Blazers, earned himself a good living. And these guys are just great. My dad, I'm only 5'11". I'm just under 6 foot, so I'm not super tall. If I was in 6'5", Hende, we might have never met, you know? I'd have been in the league. there's guys in the league I feel like if I was in shape that I could outplay now.
Chill.
No. It's a good day. 100%. I got friends. All of my friends are world-class basketball players. If they didn't play in the NBA, they played in the Philippines or overseas, Italy. They played all over the world. I've always been around that world-class and been around that mind frame. So I think you learn discipline, you learn how to be strategic, and you learn this power of intention. One thing about normies,
right?
And when I say normies, I'm not trying to be derogatory. I just mean normal people who don't really understand because they didn't build something with intention, is they don't know the capabilities of what someone can do when they intentionally put the work in. And when you go out to put the work in, you have to work across long time frames. And people who can work along long time frames always win. Hende, I'm going to be a multimillionaire in my 50s. You know, I'm 38 now. You usually get that level of success in your 50s, but not a lot of people can put the work in for 2, 3, 4 decades. But people who played sports can do that because they played a sport 20 years. They saw how good they got, and they can apply that to business and life.
Mm-hmm. And if you can share, what sports did you play growing up other than basketball?
Everything. Football. But I didn't play tackle football because my dad was one of those guys who was ahead of the curve and knew it was bad for your brain.
He saw the Will Smith movie before it came out.
He knew. My dad knew a lot of things 30 years before people knew. He can really see the future. He's a really smart guy. He's extremely smart in everything, but he's a genius when it comes to the body and fitness. And, I was blessed to be able to have a father to know that stuff, but he would teach me things like, so in sports and athleticism, there's something called proprioception. And proprioception is your ability to know where you are in time and space. And so one thing you can do to really help your proprioception is work on your eyes and coordination. So my dad made me learn how to juggle when I was like 10. I was, you know, I can juggle real easy, you know, and it's a party trick when people are around. They're like, dang, oh, that's cool. But I was able to do it as a kid because my dad knew it would make me better, not just in sports, but in life. But, basketball, football in the streets, even hockey, even what else? Ping pong. I'm really good at ping pong because of my hand-eye coordination. I have a friend group who's like really good. Like if you saw us play, you'd be like, gosh, they're moving fast like pros. We're not pro level, but I can score against pros. I have a friend in my mastermind group, who is a pro, and you know, I can't hang with them, but you know, I can win some points every now and then. I played everything, man. Rollerblades or hockey, everything, soccer. So sports has been an integral part of my life and the reason why I work out and I'm able to be disciplined in fitness to this day.
And, speaking of today, do you, like, do any sports recreationally, or you just work out now? Is that the only form of quote unquote sports?
I just work out now. Sometimes I'll play ping pong. I have guys all the time asking me, like, do you want to play in like our men's league? I just don't have the time. The only thing I lost is my shot, but I could get that back in a week or two. But I'm
weak
and weak. You get to
short on cash. Then get to a You Save for these super savings. 4 100 gram clover flavored dairy snacks, just 20 Namibian dollars for two. That's 8 100 gram cups. 2 kilogram Omaedic cultured milk, just 48.99 Namibian dollars. 100 milliliter Colgate toothpaste, just 17.99 Namibian dollars. 200 milliliter organic shampoo and conditioner, only 29.99 Namibian dollars each. And a Dry Naps premium disposable nappies, just 139.99 Namibian dollars. Hurry up to your favorite You Save store.
But I'm weak and weak. It's like riding a bike. It comes back. You know what I mean? But it's you know, some things you have this intuition about it. Like you just know what's going to happen before it happens. So even if you're not super fast and get to where you need to go, that's how I am with basketball. Like I could just see what's about to happen. And so, yeah, man, basketball. But now I just work out every day, make sure I do my plyos, make sure I sprint and all that stuff. So I don't lose what I got over the years. But, no, I don't play any sports every single day anymore.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And, so I'll just share my sporting journey briefly. So the listeners know we have two credible sources speaking on this today. So as I started,
maybe catch
really
light and get this one on one.
One day. So I grew up playing, soccer. I almost said football, but yeah, soccer. I started maybe when I was 5 or 6 around there. Initially, all my friends were playing it. So I was like, let me play this as well. But then I started falling in love with the sport, obviously watching it on TV every weekend. And I got really dedicated to the sport. And one thing about sport is, you know, when you're growing up playing sport, you don't realize you kind of do it, unintentionally is like the dedication you put towards your sport. Like as I got older, I only did like well in school. Like I studied in school only so like my parents wouldn't say anything if I'm going out to play soccer. Like I didn't do well in school because I saw the value in education or whatever. That came later. In my younger ages, I was just like, let me do my homework so I can have time to play ball.
Yeah.
And, I kind of took it to the extreme scale. Like I was watching my diet and everything when I was young already. I was like putting in extra hours and all of that. And so obviously that has translated to other things in my life as well, which I didn't know at the time. But yeah, sport has been, honestly, one of my biggest blessings, like that I have the body able to compete is something I'm very grateful for, to participate, rather, let me say it like that. And yeah, I mean, I made a lot of my lifelong friends that I still have today. I made through sports. A lot of my knowledge that I have today, I learned through sports, like, you know, playing FIFA and stuff like that. Like you don't know it as a child, but you know, you're pronouncing these like Swedish names, Australian names, Brazilian names. You're like picking up on their terms and things. So you become like, you get this worldview that you kind of get by accident, truthfully speaking.
Yeah. That was funny. Yeah. When my dad was a kid, he would, if the soccer players, were at the park, they would be playing soccer. He would go steal the ball from them and just run and not give them the ball back. So he used to tell him who used to do that. So when I got, I think I was probably like 12, I started doing it as well. I would go, cause they would play soccer on the basketball court and I would get mad. I'd be like, man, move this away. So I would just like wait on the side and when I could get the ball, I would grab it and just run and just kick it. So you know, that's when I was young and crazy.
Yeah. And, the next point I want to touch on is, I think I got the ability to socialize, you know, talk to people from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
Just different people, meeting different people, like learning how to communicate and so on. I think I got from sports. So if you can share, like, what, social elements do you think that sport gave you that translated over into the business room?
Well, you know, some people are nervous when they meet new people. I think everyone's probably like that as a kid and you kind of just learn. But when you play sports, you get through that quick because you're around so many people. You get around so many different races, people who look like you, people who don't look like you. So you know how to talk and you learn how to collaborate, right? In business, you have to learn to collaborate. You have to learn to deal with and be around people who don't share your same views. We're in a time now where a bunch of normies get so mad if you love capitalism or if you're a type of person who's more socialist or communistic, they act like, oh, I hate this person because they don't think like me. And in sports, we don't think that way because all we care about is winning. How can I win?
Yeah.
And when the elite and when the top people get in these rooms, they don't talk about racism. They don't care if you're black, white, yellow, orange. All they care about is, can you bring the results? Can you play on the court? Right. And if you could play on the court and you could bring results and you can help me win or I can help you win, we can collaborate and get this business going. We could collaborate and win this game. Right. Cause in all sports, they're team games. And I actually did learn as I got older. I'm not much of a team player. I can play on teams. I learn to play on teams, but, I'm more of a solo player. Like if I could start over, I would have just stayed in wrestling and became a fighter because I really don't see nobody, no human being beating me one-on-one at anything. Now, when it's a team sport, it's a lot more dynamic and people have to do their jobs and it's a lot more inputs on the game, that you can't manage yourself. So you have to trust your teammates. Now, I think that's an issue that Kobe had. That's the issue that Jordan had that you have to work through. But collaboration is huge. Can you talk to people? Can you deal with people? And when you're in sports, that's much easier because you don't care about anything but winning and you need this other person to win. And so it makes you a better human being and makes you more empathetic to how other people think and how they move and how they process the world. And they become your brothers, even though they're way different than you because, you know, you struggled, you worked hard together and you worked toward this victory, this win, or just becoming a better team.
Yeah, exactly. And like you learn, you know, you learn about your teammates that maybe this guy is not capable of a certain act. And
exactly.
You even learn how to speak differently, how to say the same message in different ways, right?
It's a different,
you know, some teammates you can yell at, you can be like, what the hell are you doing? But other teammates, you gotta be like, all right, next time, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, one thing is like, it's, I think LeBron a lot of times shies away from the moment. And he does little things that, like a normie wouldn't understand, but you'll understand this, Hende. When I was a kid, I It was a game. It was like the end of a game. It was like game winning shot coming up. And I got double teamed. So I made the right play. Like I made a move. I split and then the triple team came and I made the pass to someone and they missed the layup. And I remember just being upset. Like this guy can't even make a layup. He's like, he sucks at basketball. He's trash. The truth is he doesn't suck. He's not trash. He's just good at what he's good at. And my dad taught me something valuable after that game that I took into business and I took into life. And you'll understand this too, Hende, is know your personnel. Don't put people in a situation that you know that they're not good at. As a leader, you need to know where they're good at and put them in a position where they can win, right? And so you got to know your personnel. Don't have someone write up this business plan if they're not good at business plan. You have to put people where they belong so that the whole team can win. You know, there's something cool. Have you ever done an escape room?
I've never done it, but I know what it is. Yeah,
it is what it is. So escape room, guys, is when you go into this room and you have to figure out these clues and read the stuff and do all this stuff to escape the room, right? And so when you go into an escape room with your team, it's great for team building. And this will really elucidate the idea I'm trying to express here is you'll get to see what everyone's good at. I was able to do physical stuff. I was able to do comprehension and reading and problem solving. But then when we came to like a puzzle, if someone else had to do that, I'm not really good at puzzles. I'm looking at this thing like, what is this? You know what I mean? Some people are good at what they're good at. Know your personnel and put those people in a position to win and put everybody where they should be so that the team can win.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And, like the last point on the whole social thing, now that I'm, a older man, I do old man sports. I cycle a lot now. Cycling is my thing.
And you're young, man. Yeah, why young dudes always try to act like they're old when they're 30? Do you know a man doesn't reach his prime till he's 45? As long as you work out and take care of yourself, you don't even reach your prime till you're 45.
45? I feel like you're washed by 45.
No. I mean, you're not world class unless you're LeBron and you take all the pharmaceuticals in the world, allegedly. But you get strong. I'm still getting stronger. I'm not getting faster. I'm not jumping higher, but I still have a 38 to a 40 inch vertical. I'm still running 4.6, 4.7, which is slow for like NFL, but that's fast.
Yeah.
As long as you sprint all the time, if you use it, you don't lose it. You know what I mean? And now you're smart now too. So now you're smarter.
Right.
And you're not as athletic, but you're not that much worse than you were. So you're better all around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And before I get to the point I was trying to make, what I'm getting from you these past few minutes is that you're a bit of a Bron hater. Is that correct?
I think he's the third best of all time. If that makes me a hater, then. Oh, he's not better. Son or Kobe. I'm a hater. No, it's just,
you sound like Stephen A now.
Yeah. I just, he's great. It's just, he could have been great at football too. He could have been like one of the best at football too, where he's just a great athlete, right? The other two, Kobe and Jordan, are hoopers. They're great hoopers. Yeah, they have a bag. They got a jumper. Like it's just different levels. And I'm not going to let nobody trick me into believing he's the best. No.
All right. I'll leave that alone. But, onto to add on to what you said about, you know, being older and being wiser and that helping you on the court. I used to play soccer with some older guys. And obviously I was able to outrun them easily. But when it came to like movements on the field that just required your mind, sometimes it was like amazing what these, even though they're old, they move really slow sometimes, like they could still outthink me, which I found quite crazy at times.
Yeah. You know, my favorite athlete, favorite fighter, my favorite person to really study and look at is Floyd Mayweather. I think Floyd Mayweather is, I don't think, Floyd Mayweather is better at boxing than like Einstein is at science, he's to me the best, when he was in his prime, the best athlete to walk this earth. He's never lost. He's actually came out of retirement. But even though he isn't as fast or as strong as he used to be, he's just so smart at boxing. He's just sharp thinking, and he knows the game so well, and he controls range so well. You can't beat the guy, and he's like 50. So
yeah,
the reason why human beings are the top dogs on this earth is because of our brain. The ability to think, the ability to recognize patterns, pattern recognition is what makes us great. So one thing you'll notice about the top athletes, the top guys, and athletes compared to normal people, high IQ.
Yeah.
You know, they had that dumb jock thing, like, oh, shut up and dribble, like, the lady to LeBron. Mm-hmm. LeBron is a genius. Like, he's smart. He's just because he's not smart in what you want him to be smart at, because he mastered sports. Nobody else can master sports like he did. His level of intelligence is insane. How smart athletes are, their pattern recognition, very, very high IQ. And if you test LeBron's IQ with a test that measures just IQ and not what he's learned, guaranteed he's probably Mensa level. Guaranteed.
Right. Right. No doubt. And to wrap up the whole socializing thing with sports, now that I cycle, I come across these guys that are like, oh, I'm the CEO of whatever bank. I'm the managing director at this whatever company. And sometimes when I play soccer with the old guys too, I hear about their careers. Like, it's a great way to network too. And yeah, I know in America they used to tell me that that deals are signed on the golf course. You know, maybe it's more on the bicycle. But yeah, if you maybe have an experience about where you networked with someone or met someone really cool through sports.
Hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I wonder why it's called a hot dog. I can eat them day or night. Let's squeeze some tomato sauce on this bad boy and enjoy. Ah, no! Now I've got tomato sauce on my dog, my watch, and my favorite shirt.
Sometimes you just squeeze too hard, and your favorite shirt gets ruined. But luckily, with Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Ah, now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
It's where you network with someone or met someone really cool through sports. You can share that.
So many people. Almost 90% of my network came through sports, because when you played a sport, people automatically know that you're an alpha at what you do. You could be around alphas. You can collaborate. They know you have some level of discipline. Especially when they look at you and see that you're in shape and you're still fit.
Yeah.
Let's see. So many deals. I wouldn't say like actual deals, but just collaborating with people where deals end up coming through who they know or different ideas and things of that sort. One of my friends is a NBA referee, and when he's in town, we golf, and I met NBA referees through him. So now when they're reffing the game in the city, I can get free tickets, something as small as that.
Right.
Different businesses, it's like if people want to meet up or they just want to go golf. Another one is, that's coming up in America is, not ping pong, but, racquetball, not racquetball, pickleball.
Paddle?
A lot of pickleball. Yeah. So a lot of, business owners are playing pickleball, especially older people. Is really good for your proprioception, really good for your eyes, really good for your brain, and it keeps you in shape. And someone who, like me, is super athletic can lose to a slow white lady just because she has more skills. So it evens out the playing field a lot. So pickleball is a huge one as well that people collaborate in. And there's a bonding, you know, there's hormones that bond you. A lot of people know about oxytocin. That's the love hormone that bonds you with someone, but there's another one called vasopressin, and vasopressin bonds you through stress. Right. So a lot of times, you know, you end up really connected to people that you play sports with and you have loyalty with them because you went through a low level of stress with them playing sports. You retired, blah, blah, blah. You were working towards a goal. So that bonds you and that creates a connection. And the real value in any business today, and I think if anyone could take anything from today's episode, is this, is the world is in a trust recession. Nobody trusts anyone. You know, when we did our first couple episodes, and maybe still to this day, they're like, who is this guy? Is he really about that? They don't trust it. So you have to keep showing and keep, right? And so if you can build trust, that's where real business and real deals and real money gets exchanged. And trust comes from being together, struggling together, playing sports together, working through a problem together. So you gotta show up, you gotta put the work in. And, that's just how, what comes with the territory.
No doubt. Let me tell you a quick story about, cause you were saying about losing to older people. Back when I was at, Indiana University in undergrad, like we had this, I guess you can call it a message board or something, where like, you know, if you need a jogging partner, if you need a math tutor, whatever, you hit up this message board. So then I saw this one person said they were looking for someone to play racquetball with in the gym. So I'm like, yeah, I play a little racquetball. Why not? Let me see what this person is about.
Yeah.
So the person that showed up is this old white lady. Like this was, I don't know how many years ago now, like 2020 maybe. And she was old then. I'm like, I'm skeptical that she's even alive now, but I played with this lady. And we play to 11. So first to three sets is wins. And I kid you not, the first like five games or whatever we played, this lady beat me 11-0 each time. I never even scored a point against this lady.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of one of the games, she was like, yo, listen, like you're running around on the court. You're way more athletic than me, obviously, but I'm playing with skill and precision. Cause I just used to hit the ball against the wall and then run and chase like she hits. And she was like, if you just like slow down for a minute and actually focus on where you want to hit the ball, you would beat me so easily. But yeah, it was a humbling experience.
And that's where that knowledge comes in. That's where that pattern recognition comes in over her playing long periods of time. And also when you know you aren't as fast as the other person, you just got to be more strategic. If I have a guy quicker than me, I'm going to use my strength. If I have a guy, ain't nobody stronger than me, but theoretically in a false world, if someone's stronger than me, I'm going to use my quickness a little more. You got to use what you got. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So let's change lanes a bit and talk about athletes as entrepreneurs. You know, a lot of people, especially here in Namibia, it's a big topic of conversation. People don't really see or think of athletes as entrepreneurs. I mean, we've been speaking about people like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. These are people that are obviously earning millions and millions of dollars for their on the court talent, but off the court, they're earning just as much, if not more. So talk a little bit about how an athlete, especially in today's world, you know, with NIL and stuff, how athletes are actually walking businesses, like literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So obviously they get a lot of capital. They have a lot of liquidity compared to other people. So they're able to execute on ideas and they're able to try a lot of things. There's a bunch of athletes crushing in entrepreneurship. You have Kevin Durant is a sleeper though. He's really, emerged as what top dog. Shaq, with Ring, Papa John's, the different things that they do. But a lot of them just put their money in things that they think will grow. And
yeah.
I'm going to just be honest. A lot of them get tipped off because they hire financial managers that are doing deals. And then they tell them, hey, this deal's coming up. You should invest in it. That's actually illegal. I don't want to be a snitch, but a lot of them do that. I wonder if I should share this. I'm not going to share a name, but there's a financial planner. Well, if I say the athlete, there's a financial planner who works for a major athlete, and that financial planner was brokering a deal between two major US companies. So he just went to the athlete and said, hey, you should put $20 million into this company because I'm about to do a deal where this company is going to buy this company and then you better exit at like $200 million, right? And so they're getting this information because they're around the top people, because they're hiring the top people to manage their money. So a lot of times in business, it's not about what you know. It's not about who you know. It's about who knows you. So if you're around the right person, you're in the right rooms. We call this in business, we call this deal flow. Athletes have tremendous deal flow. A lot of them look at it as, it's annoying. People always ask me for money, but they don't see it as an opportunity, because it is an opportunity. You have deal flow getting put in front of you all the time, and you have the capital to act on that deal flow. Now, they don't have the time to really learn it. If they really read. Magic Johnson is a huge one that I love. Magic Johnson did what I did. He was an M&A where he came with a group that all of them, you know, pulled their money and put their money together in order to buy different teams or companies. He owns a lot of businesses in LA. Obviously, he has a lot of money into the Dodgers. But there's different models. I'm buying businesses, no money, rolling them up together. They are pooling a bunch of rich people's money. So they have the money already, and then they're buying and consolidating businesses, that way. So I would say Magic Johnson is probably my favorite. He's very shrewd business person. LeBron's a G, obviously, and he's locked in with great, great guys. Paul Watchter is, I believe, is the guy who manages his money, who's like elite, like next level Jewish businessman, who's just amazing. And I've always watched him from afar, even though he's behind the scenes. He's also Arnold Schwarzenegger's financial manager. When I get enough money, he's definitely the guy, or someone in his group is someone I would love to meet and work with. There's so many opportunities that come your way when you're an athlete. You don't have to hunt opportunities. And yes, they lose money, but all they need is one. If you have one that goes crazy, then the upside is tremendous.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And it's actually quite interesting, some of the things that these guys invest in. I mean, I recently read about Kevin Durant investing in like Israeli, like, drone machinery or something like that, which I found like completely absurd. But yeah, it just goes to show like what these guys have access to.
And absurd. Remember what I told you prior? I said they know what's coming. And, you know, anyone who actually, you know, if you read and you pay attention, we all know that greater Israel is coming. So if you can't stop it, it's no point in arguing or getting mad, or all you can really do is, how can I position my money and position myself to profit from this, to help my family?
Right.
And that's what Kevin Durant's doing. And so, you just got to think the same way. You may not have millions of dollars like Kevin Durant, where you can put those millions of dollars into whatever's going, but you can put what you got, 1,000, 10,000. If you put 10,000 into the right thing, for example, my friend, and this is why you need friends, and collaborate with people who know what they're doing. He was showing how oil was taken off, and he was showing, and he was saying how the last time he saw oil go up like this, soon after the S&P, fail. So I was doing my homework and looking. So I'm trying to see, can I short something? Can I put my money somewhere? What's going to go up? What's going to go down? You gotta learn stuff. You gotta watch the news and figure out what's going on, and position yourself. You know, money is like, it's funny, that the words that they use for finances is the same as the words that's used for like water. So, you know, if you want to get wet, who controls the flow of the water? Just like in a river, the bank, right? So the bank of the river controls the flow of the water. The bank controls the flow of, so where are the banks putting their money? How are they positioning themselves? so that you can be right next to them. And if you position yourself the right way, you'll get wet as well.
Now, that's interesting. I never made that correlation, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, when all this stuff was made was after the Battle of Waterloo with Napoleon, and that was on the water. So.
Right.
Conspiracy. Maybe they were like, oh, look, we're on the water. Let's just name it after some of this stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Now let's talk about, you know, since I study sport management, I'm very familiar with the topic about sport as a business, but it's great to have someone, cause I speak about American sports a lot, obviously, since that's where I study, that's where a lot of my knowledge and experience comes from. But for the listeners, so they hear a different voice, give us your perspective on sport as a business in America. For the listeners that don't know, there's no country that does sport business like America. They're undoubtedly number one. So
yeah,
as a native, what's your experience on that?
Well, soccer's number one. I believe, I forget the biggest soccer team, but they're number one. Number two is the Dallas Cowboys in Texas in America.
Are you talking about team value?
Team value, yeah, just like what the teams were.
It's still the Cowboys. They're still number one.
They're still number one? Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. It's big business. I kind of talked to my brother about this because he's always telling me about basketball, and I'm a businessman now. I like philosophy. I'm kind of a nerd, so I don't really watch. I hate to say this, but for someone like me, it's a waste of time. But for most people, it's how they hang out with people. It's something they talk about. It's so much in their culture that, it's a part of them. You know what I mean? People will get hurt and get in a fight and do crazy things over their team. So it's so intertwined with culture that it's going to make so much money in big business. People are going to buy the tickets. They're going to buy the jerseys. They're watching it on TV. They're watching highlights. They're even watching people talk about it, right? Like, people love to just watch people talk about sports. But all the value comes in, the money value comes in that, and then the self value comes in playing the sport. But the thing that's different now in America is a lot of, private equity and pools of money are coming in and buying all the businesses. For example, the Lakers was bought by people think it was by the same gentleman who bought the Dodgers. But what they don't know is that gentleman just controls a lot of people's money and goes and buys assets with their money. And so before he bought the Lakers for $10 billion, he borrowed $10 billion from the Abu Dhabi wealth fund. I think it was either Abu Dhabi or Saudi Arabia. So now what's happening is big sovereign wealth funds and big private equity groups are putting their money together, and they're buying everything. They're buying the houses here. They're buying businesses here. I hate them because they're buying the businesses I want to buy. So I have to go smaller and try to build up business so I can sell the private equity later. But that's one of the big problems in America right now is the big pools of money are able to buy everything and is pricing everyone out. And that's kind of the issue.
Including the fans, too.
Including the fans, because now they're going to raise the prices to go to the games and things of that sort. And so everyone's doing a roll-up strategy like I'm doing, just at higher levels and a lot more money. And that's what's happening in America right now with sports. And the people who own business, the small business owners like a Mark Cuban, they can't compete. That's why he sold. How are you going to compete with 100 people putting in 100 million when you are, you know, you got 3 billion, you know? It's hard unless you're like, Steve Ballmer, who's has ridiculous amounts of money for the Clippers, for Microsoft. But, private equity is moving in and I don't like it. I hope something is done about it, or there's some kind of way to help people, because everything's getting consolidated and monopolized here in America. Can't hate the player, you know, hate the game, or play the game, figure out a way to to get in and do that. But, you know, we love Jenny, the Jenny Bus. We love Jenny Bus. We love the Bus family. But they had the sale to a sovereign wealth fund. And how can she compete with Abu Dhabi, right? Or Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
And compete with, they print money. So a lot of people don't know that their teams that they love are being bought and owned by private equity. That's the only downside to it.
Yeah, no, and it's happening in like the, in the soccer world too. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the soccer world, but you know, Manchester City, PSG, that big Abu Dhabi ties as well. You know, a big argument is like, how are the rest of the teams supposed to compete if you're being bankrolled by a whole country, essentially? Like, what are we supposed to do?
Like the Dodgers. Yeah, people get mad at me when I'm like, no, it's the best. It's a $1 billion roster. What are you talking about? It's the best team ever created. Like, oh, well, other teams need to spend money. They can't. They can't compete with lobby money. You can't compete with oil money. You know,
it's exactly.
That's why I like, well, one thing in basketball is you do have a cap. Even though private equity is buying the teams, you still can only spend a certain amount of money building your team, which makes it equal. But the Dodgers, they just get all the best players. And I'm like, do you feel like a winner when you have all the best players? It's like when KD went to the Warriors. It's worse than that, actually. It's like if KD, LeBron, and Kobe went to the Warriors. That's how the Dodgers are. So.
Yeah. And then, I mean, in basketball, they do it too, kind of. You know, some owners don't care to pay the luxury tax. They'll pay it if it
means pay it.
They can get the best player.
So it just comes down to who has the money, which I'm cool with, but you're borrowing the money from other countries. It's like I'm doing a roll up in environmental services. What if I did a talk in Dubai? Let's say I go to Dubai, do a talk, and then I end up meeting a prince and I tell him what I do and he goes, oh, we would love to invest in that. And then I took $1 billion of their money, and then I bought every single plumbing company. Let's say I bought 60% of the plumbing companies in America. I look like a G. He owns 60% of the plumbing companies, but what nobody knows is really, the prince who gave me the money is really the guy who owns it. Do you guys have toll roads in Namibia?
No. They're talking about introducing it, but right now we don't have it.
See, let me tell you about this. So we have toll roads here. We have all these fast tracks where you have to pay. You have to pay to drive on the freeway. You have to pay to travel.
Yeah.
But what people don't know is other countries' sovereign wealth funds own that. It ain't even our money. We're paying another country to drive on our roads. Nobody knows this. And, you know, and when they find out, they're going to be hot, and then but really, you should have paid attention and understood that. You're paying, I paid $10 to go down the street. I paid $10 to Shanghai Sovereign Wealth Fund, whatever it is, just to drive down the street. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's wild. It's wild. And now, speaking of that, are there any, you know, just to balance out the conversation, are there any negative traits or characteristics that one can develop through participating in sports, you think that cross over to the boardroom?
Zero.
None at all?
None. The only thing I'll say is people who play the sport are extremely confident. Especially if you're high level, you can develop some sociopathic and psychopathic tendencies. You're not a sociopath or a psychopath, but you have some tendencies. Like Jordan 100% has sociopathic tendencies. And Kobe, that's why I love him. LeBron has none. He's a great guy. I like so. but those tendencies are what we call a killer, right? A killer in business. Trump has them at a high level. These guys are killers. There's a functional utility in having these people because they're so good at what they do. They're so confident and they move forward with bold enthusiasm. And that is looked bad at by normal people, but high performers don't see it as a bad thing as long as you perform. But if you go into, when you go into, let's say you go into the workplace or you're not quite the boss, you're not the owner yet, you're just learning and you're just working, that can be a negative because the people that you're working with, it's hard to have empathy for them because you look at them as lazy. You're like, you're lazy. You're 40 pounds overweight. Like, why am I listening to you? And so that feeling and emotion and that arrogance can sometimes, the reason why it hurts you is because then those people start working against you, right? My dad taught me this, a few years ago, maybe like 10 years ago. And he explained it to me, and then he told me to go watch the movie Imitation Game. And Imitation Game is the movie about the guy who broke the German Enigma code, in the war. It's based off a true story. He was a gay guy who was ultra high IQ, and he built like the first computer. I don't know if it was the first one, but one of the first computers. And he used the computer to break the German Enigma code. But when he was doing it, all the people that they put on his team, he looked at them like, bro, you're dumb. Like, I'm high IQ. Like, I don't need your help. Like, get out of here. So those people on his team started to sabotage him because they didn't want him to win because he was an asshole. Because he was a good guy, but he seemed like a mean guy to them because he was just so straight. Like, do this, do that. Don't talk to me. And then he had this girl who was really smart. She was really good at math, and he respected her because she was so smart. But it wasn't like a respect or lack of respect for the person. It was just, you're smart, you could help me. You're not smart, get out of here. But some people took that as respect or disrespect. And then that girl explained to him, like, I think his name was Alan. She said, Alan, these people aren't, you need these people on your side if you're going to do this. And then he realized, I need to have these people as my friends, even though they're not as good as me, in order to get the result. And then he started going out with them. I think Kobe realized this as well. Then he started going out, having drinks with them, doing things that he didn't even want to do because he wanted to create a bond. And I learned this later in my life. I go out now, you know, I never really drank alcohol ever. But now I understand I go out, I'll have a cigar. I don't want to smoke a cigar, but I'll have one. And I just, you know, I just be there with the people that I need to help make me win. I'll have a small amount of tequila and I'll just sip it and be there. Don't fake it, but play the role. Empathetic. Be nice to these people. These are good people. They are good at something you're not good at. Know your personnel. And a lot of times when you're really good at a sport, you could just kind of look down on people and look at them as lazy and have contempt for people. And you got to be careful for that.
Yeah, no, that reminds me of when Magic Johnson was, I think it was head of basketball ops at the Lakers, that short stint he had. They were saying like he was terrible to work with. I assume because of that, some of that stuff you mentioned, like there was a story that came out about how like he was yelling at some like junior girl in their department. And he was like, look, next to me is this stack of resumes, like however many hundreds of pages. He was like, if you don't do your job, I can literally just go into this pile. There's people that want to do your job for free. Like get your act together. And he couldn't understand not working with high performers like to his level. So that's something he had to learn. And I guess he couldn't learn it, which is why he's not in the role.
And nobody's going to be on his level. So how can he expect someone to be on his level? You're Magic Johnson. You're world class. I think Gary Vee is one of the top guys who talks about this. He's like, you can't expect people to work hard like you. I don't expect people to be like me. And he talks about being empathetic and, you know, leadership, people have all their definitions for leadership. Leadership just means getting you to do what I want you to do when I want you to do it. Now you can do that by motivating the person, or you can do that by being corrosive to that person, or being a better way to say it would be like forceful, like Trump. Now both work, you know, being corrosive works faster, but it doesn't last. As soon as the person that everyone's scared of, as soon as he's gone, all of everything he's built is going to be gone. When that guy's out of there, everything he's did is going to be gone because then someone different's going to be there. So it's best to learn to motivate people and really lock in with people and still hold them accountable. But if you're Magic Johnson, you can't be doing that. You got to figure out a way to motivate this girl and make her feel good about herself. And you could talk to different people different ways. Me, you could tell me anything right to my face and I would be like, my bad. Yes, sir. I'm a lock in. I could take that, but not everybody could take that.
Yeah, no, and some people, it breaks them like beyond repair too. Like, yeah.
So it was that way. Lamar Odom was that way. Yeah. And I think it took, that's why Phil Jackson's the best coach ever. He knows who he could talk to certain ways. That's why he let Rodman, they're like, listen, we got to let Rodman go to Vegas for 2 days to do his thing. And it, you know, yeah. They're like, what? We got to get ready. Playoffs coming up. This is what he needs to play at the level he plays at, you know, and
exactly.
You understand that everyone has different needs.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, on a lighter note, I mean, I know you said you don't watch sport as much anymore, but who are some of your favorite modern day athletes or teams in sports? Can be across any sport.
So Lakers, of course. I love Luka. I think he's amazing. The way he controls.
Did you, my bad, not to cut you off, but did you grow up a Laker fan?
Yes, I grew up a Laker fan. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Kobe, even before Kobe, Nick Van Exel, Sadale 3, Cedric Sabonis, Eddie Jones, they were all amazing. And then Kobe came and I loved Kobe. What I loved about Kobe is they hated him, even though they hated him because he was, you know, that arrogant kid who worked hard. And then he still just figured out a way to just come out on top. So I love Kobe's, I love his hero's journey. Floyd Mayweather, that's my favorite athlete of all time of anything. He's just a painting. I like watching him. I like watching his interviews, watching him talk. He's just so wise and high performing. People have, I don't even know if he knows how great he is, but me knowing psychology.
So what will your friends think if you show up at school with a brand new 10th gen iPad? TopScore Instant is making back to school in 2026 the coolest thing ever, giving away unbelievable prizes. To win one of 8 iPads or a weekly stationery voucher worth 1,000 Namibian dollars, simply buy a 1kg or 2kg TopScore Instant from any store nationwide and SMS Instant to 24442. Competition ends 31 March 2026. T's and C's apply. TopScore, a proud product of Namib Mills.
If you lost your show, all of Taliku Tungupo, Omawa, oh, Tomono, Okojako NHP, Genge, or Longifire, Longifoli, Pedulo, Wawo, Haku, Olo Hali Pitti, Kwa Fikune Fiku, Mefiloshi, Shalow, Haku, Owa Washimaliwa, Shosha, Hupako, Washikawe Delwa, Komto, Alan, Kashi, Koma Punglo, and Ashanun, Jolo, Elewe, Otodulo, Kulongifa, Omawa, Wa Hupuko, Opona Miti, Toshiningi, Momikalo, Dihapungashi. Okufutila po oimaliwa ishona oyohodulo okupolwa ulifutila ove mwene omayakulo olu hapu hakalaina kwa telwa mowa we kwa folo elo unamiti ile otodulu no kuli okupitifa po e mwe didonumba tokalaino futa eakulo lo elo unamiti.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara hita tuimu. Datu, Hiari Hamano Tano, Oniaj, Eagle FM, the Eye.